Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as I said just a minute ago, if that's you, and you sense a tangible manifestation of your healing, I want you to just lift your hand at any time during this service. I don't want you to do this on Sunday or next Wednesday night. That's instructions just for tonight. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, for those of you who are visiting tonight for the first time, I am not Pastor Joel Sims. He's not here tonight. He'll be back with us on Sunday. And he's given me this awesome privilege, this opportunity to share the word of God with you. And for those of you who do know me, you know that I am the director of outreach of the Impact Groups. And you know that whenever I get an opportunity to plug the Impact Groups, I'm going to take it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I'm going to do it again. You know, here at Word of Life Church, we believe in, or rather we are committed to three things. That is hearing life. We come out on Sundays and Wednesday nights to hear words of life, to hear what the word of the Lord has to say to us. Amen. And then we're committed to sharing life. We've got all kinds of fellowships, the Merit Fellowship. We've got Financial Peace Class. We've got classes going on during the service. We've got Healing School with Brother Ding is giving you the word concerning healing, God's words concerning healing, allowing the word to do what it's designed to do in your bodies. We've got men's fellowships. We've got women's fellowships. We've got all kinds of things for everybody to get involved in and to share life with. And then we're committed to giving life. And giving life is the part of that thing that we do, the things that we're committed to where I'm involved. It is the portion where we get involved in outreach and go out and do various things to impact our community. And so of those things, I'll just run off real quick a list of those things. We've got the nursing home ministry where a group of people go out and on Sundays, every second Sunday over to Willow Creek Retirement Home and literally put on a service for the residents there. And if you've never been out there, I'm telling you, there's nothing more gratifying, nothing more satisfying than to see the response from the residents there at the nursing home. To see how they receive the word of God and how after it's all over with, they come, they literally call you over and say, listen, we're so glad that you came out because had you not, we wouldn't have gotten an opportunity to hear the word of God. We're glad that you cared enough for us to come out and to share the word of God and to share scripture and to pray with us. Amen. Is that right, Brother Carl? Brother Carl and Carolyn are faithful and I see people all over here. Actually, there are about six or seven people who are faithful to go out on those second Sundays and to do that service. And then we're involved with Stew Pot. There are a lot of people who've already served with Stew Pot. If you're in here tonight and you served, I want you to raise your hand. As a matter of fact, I want you to do this. If you've served with any of our outreaches, I want you to lift up your hand at any point, at any time, lift up your hand. And I want everybody else to look around and see how awesome it is that everybody's in, all the people who are involved in outreach. But we got Stew Pot where you have an opportunity for 1 hour from 11:30 to 12:30, your lunch hour, to go and to not just feed yourself, but to feed other people who are homeless and hungry and those kinds of things. And you get a chance to witness what it's like to be the extension of God's hand to somebody who's less fortunate than you are. Amen. And so we've got opportunities for you to do that. We've got a prison ministry where Miss Nettie and a group of ladies go out and provide a service for them monthly. And there's Sunnybrook where we've got a group of people who go out to the children's home and put on a birthday party for orphan children to show the love of God to them. Periodically, we build with Habitat for Humanity, go out and building homes for people who would otherwise not be able to own their own homes, get a chance to build right alongside of them to help them build their homes. Man, it is raining, isn't it? And so, and then there is Poindexter, and this is my, what's the word for it? This is, what is it? Baby. It's mine, Pastor Joel's baby. And this is such a neat opportunity because it is outreach in this grandeur and splendor. And what I mean by that is we get an opportunity to do a whole lot of things, to touch a whole lot of different people, different types of people, families, young people, older people, homeless people, non-homeless people, people with homes. And the more time we spend over there, the more people we meet and the more we see the need for reaching out to these people and the more we experience the benefit of knowing God, being filled with the life of God, and then pouring out that love to other people. There is nothing like it. And what's so neat about it is, you know, we come to church and we hear the word of God. And in our hearts, because God lives in our hearts, we know that there's something else that we should be doing. We know that that God has called us to change lives, to reach out and touch people and to be a supply to them. And so it's really neat to see how people come out and they come out for the first time. And I love to watch their faces. And, you know, they serve a hamburger to a homeless guy who they would otherwise never approach. And they reach out to some little snotty-nosed kid who they probably never would have an opportunity to reach out to. Or some lady who's homeless, but she's got three kids right there next to her. Those kinds of things. And you watch the faces and you see how these people realize, man, God has got a plan for my life. And right here in this place, right here in Poindexter, we say Poindexter right now. Ultimately, it'll be all over Jackson and wherever else. But you say, right here, I'm able to be God's hands and God's feet. I'm able to demonstrate the love of God right here in this place. And so you see that person come back out the next time. This time they're just a little bolder. Then the next time they come out. Then after the third time, you can't get rid of them. We've got a core group of about 30 volunteers who show up every Saturday. I'm telling you, it's not like we ever have a shortage of volunteers. I'm always trying to find enough to do to put them to work. And that's a good problem to have. I love it. I'm telling you, I love it. Sometimes we have as many as 50 people show up. We've got businesses who are asking for opportunities to bring their people out and let them volunteer with us. We've got a church from Hattiesburg who comes up and sends about 10 people up to volunteer with us every couple of months or so. And we've got students, college kids who are looking for opportunities to do their community service hours. Man, I'm telling you, it's a good place to be. And in the meantime, the people get an opportunity to benefit from the love and the extension of our hands, which is God's hands, to them. More importantly, though, I watch God take a person who is a little skeptical to go into an area like that and turn that person into a reservoir or a conduit, a vessel, if you would, of his love, and watch God develop that person's skills and talents simply because they have a heart to serve. Right now, we got a group of people who are going to be leading groups. Initially, when they came out, they were taking part and cleaning up and serving hot dogs and those kinds of things. But now they're ready to take ownership and start to be leaders of other groups of people as we grow to manage the various outreaches. We're growing fast. I mean fast. And Pastor Joel's vision for Poindexter and for Jackson is so much bigger than the building you see out on the table there. I mean, it is huge. So if you don't think we've got an opportunity for you, just wait. Guarantee you we've got something for you. Amen. I want to share with you just for a moment. I'm trying to talk a lot so I don't have to. No, I'm just kidding. About something that's near and dear to my heart, because I know it's near and dear to the heart of God. And I'll start out by saying that, you know, we are working on the building over in Poindexter right now. And I've had this really neat opportunity to be there basically every day, watching the renovation and, you know, being there for the subs and answering questions and those kinds of things, as well as doing some of the little things that need to be done. And the neat thing about that is I'm having an opportunity to meet people in the neighborhood. Now, we know that God said, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for an inheritance. He says, and so we've been doing that. As a church, I hope you're doing that. Lord, send them this way. And I've prayed several times. I've said, Lord, send us the hard ones. Send us those guys who nobody else wants. Send us those guys that everybody's given up on. Because I'm just ignorant enough to believe that God can change their lives. I'm simple like that. I believe that the word of God that changed my life can change their lives. I believe that. I believe that if they ever catch a hold of the word of faith, it will radically change their lives. I'm just dumb enough to believe that God has got a calling on their lives, just like he does on yours and mine. I believe there are preachers who are walking the street. I know there are, who are walking the streets right there in Poindexter, who are waiting for somebody to say, God has a plan for your life and he has not given up on you. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm saying, God, send them over here. And God is faithful. And sometimes they catch me off guard. You better get back now. I'm sitting in the building working and I got my back chair. And Brunette gets on me all the time because sometimes I work a little late. She said, don't do that. And so I'm sitting there, I'm working, and I stand up and turn around. This guy's standing in my face. Hey, bro, better get off me. I'm just kidding. And God said, you asked for him, didn't you? Okay. And so I remind myself all the time that, yes, I did ask for them. We are asking for them because we do believe that. We believe that there are people right there who are not just going to have their lives changed, but they're going to change some other folks' lives. I'm saying, God, there are people in this place who've been walking these streets for 30 years, talking all crazy and all out of their minds. Send them over here. Father, we're going to cast the devil out of them or whatever we need to do. And then they're going to walk these same streets talking about Jesus. I believe that. I'm simple like that. Glory to God. I believe it. And so, you know, what I found out in engaging these men, most of them are men, I run into some ladies as well, is that it's not just alcohol that is holding them in bondage. And it's not just drugs that's holding them in bondage. I mean, you know, drugs play into it. Alcohol plays into it. And some of them are just, I mean, they're just kind of out of their heads. But I found out that the greatest hindrance to them seeing themselves the way that God wants them to see them, the greatest hindrance to them receiving the life that God has for them is not alcohol and drugs. Guess what it is? Religion. Ain't that crazy? Religion. Most of them can quote more scripture than I can. Just a little while ago, this guy walked up and he was walking. He had not one bad foot, but two bad feet. And he walked like this. I'm not making fun of him. And, you know, my heart went out to him. Of course, my heart went out to him. And so I said, brother, listen. He says, listen, you got 30 cents. And I said, no, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. No. I said, no, brother, just by the rule of thumb, I don't give him money. I said, but do you mind if I pray for your feet? And he said, no, brother, you go right ahead. So I'm pouring out my heart to him. And I lean down and I reach at his foot and he hold it up so I can get it. And so I started praying, man, my best prayer. And after a while, he started quoting scripture. Yeah, brother, pray for me. Yeah, I'm saying, oh, Lord, we doing something. You know, we getting something done in this, brother. And as soon as I got finished, he said, yeah, thank, praise the Lord, man. Can you give me a dollar? And then he starts quoting off scripture like I don't know what. And what he was doing was working the system. He knows that everybody he walks up to, man, they're going to try to get him saved. And so he's going to let them save him for $1.50. My point is this. Religion is holding them from experiencing God's best. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul talks about this very thing. Now this is what's keeping them from stepping into God's best for them. See, God loves us so much that he gave all of us. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins so that we might be saved. Not just that we might be saved, but that we might enjoy a life, the kind of life that he has for us. He said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, you've heard Brother Dean talk about on several occasions that the word saved in the New Testament is the word sozo. There are two words for saved. One they use is soteria, the other is sozo, but they both mean basically the same thing. It means health. It means healing. It means preservation, soundness, and wholeness. And this is the kind of life that God has for you and for me. He not only wants us saved, but he wants us to enjoy a quality of life where everything in our life is complete whole, completely whole. He wants us to have complete wholeness, complete healing, complete preservation, complete soundness. He wants us to be complete. Amen. So Paul says, he says, listen, brothers, my concern, my prayer, my desire is for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record, or I can testify, or I'm a witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, he says, they know about God. They know that he exists, that he's the creator. They know that he gave them the law some time ago, but their zeal is displaced. They know about God. That is religion. Religion says that God exists. We don't have a problem with God existing. And God can heal whoever he wants to. He just don't want to heal everybody. And God wants some people to be wealthy and some people to have the bills paid. And there are other people, he just wants them to struggle until they make it. I heard a sermon while I was over in the area one day. I won't call the place where I was. And this man, this preacher, and I'm not talking about him. I wouldn't do that. But the sermon, the message that he gave to these people who were coming to hear, who should have been coming to hear words of life. They were anyway. So he preached this sermon, man, and I'm telling you, when he got through, I felt like I needed to be saved. He preached, he said, listen, you know, there are some things in life, you just got to bear them. You just got to bear them. There are times when you just, God, you know, you just, it's some people just have to bear this. When God just, you know, when God gives it to you, you just got to bear it. And I'm thinking, no wonder these people are messed up. No wonder they're not living in God's best. No wonder they're roaming and wandering around the streets. Nobody is giving them words of life. God desires that we have not just life, not that we just exist, but that we have a God quality of life. The God kind of life. Zoe, God's quality of life. The God kind of life. He says, listen, he says, they have a zeal for God. Most religious folk have a zeal for God. Most of the guys in the park, man, that you start talking about God, and they'll out-talk you. But they cannot have, it cannot be according to knowledge. It cannot be according to the word of God, because there's something about the word of God. If the word of God will set you free, you can't sit underneath it without it setting you free. It brings freedom, not bondage. Religion brings bondage. The word of God and all of its truth and all of its purity, it brings freedom. You can't get past it. I know I'm a living witness. He says, but not according to knowledge. He said, this is the problem. This is the reason why they cannot live in God's best. He says, because they being ignorant of the righteousness of God, ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Paul was talking about the Jews, that they were religious folk. They were embracing the old covenant. They were embracing the law, and they wouldn't let go of it. God says, listen, the old law, he says the old covenant was just a schoolmaster to bring you to this new covenant where it's a better covenant built upon better promises. I got a better life for you, and this life is for everybody, and everybody can have it. God loved us so much that he made sure that this life could be obtained by every single person. He made it so that you couldn't buy it, because if you could buy it, Carl Ray is the only one who'd have it. If you could strong arm it, where is Terrence? Terrence would be the only one that would have it. Big muscle guy. If you could reason it into existence, Brother Dean be the only one with it. No, he made this life that he has for us accessible and attainable for everybody. I mean everybody, from the poorest to the oldest to the youngest to whomever. He made it available to us. And all we got to do is believe it. Confess it. He said, for they being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness which is of God. I want you to hear this. E.W. Kenyon, in his book, Two Kinds of Righteousness, says this. Now, man has this. Anyway, let me read this. It says, the church does not appreciate what she is as declared in the word. Of course, we do. We have been taught that we are unworthy and unrighteous, that we are weak and had no faith for so long that it's become a chronic disease. We look with fear upon the message that brings relief unless it is a message of works. If we could sacrifice something, if we could pray long enough and hard enough, if we could confess our sins enough, then in some way we might get straightened out in our spiritual life. The whole thing is wrong. Righteousness comes by faith. It is not gained by works, by repentance, by crying, by weeping. Neither does it come by the way of begging. It comes only by the way of faith. Man has always sought to get righteousness by works. If we thought we could become righteous, the righteousness of God, by praying for a certain number of hours, we'd do it. If we were told that someone had obtained righteousness by confessing all their sins since childhood and making restitution for them, we would be willing to make the effort. Righteousness does not come that way. It comes by faith, not by your works, not by your works, but by Christ's works. Not by your tears, but by Christ's tears. If every one of us knew that we have righteousness in us, we would become entirely independent of circumstances. If we were as conscious of being the righteousness of God as we are conscious of being weak and unworthy, we would not be sick any longer. We would not be held in bondage to want and poverty. If we were as conscious of our identification with Jesus Christ and our oneness with Him as we are conscious of physical pain and physical need, we would never have pain and we would never mention our needs again. This new sense of righteousness, this new fact of righteousness, this new discovery of our being the righteousness of God in Christ gives us a new sense of freedom in Christ. It utterly destroys the sin consciousness and weakness consciousness and the want consciousness, and in their place has come the all-absorbing reality of Christ. The reality is Christ obtained righteousness for us, so we don't have to. And the good news is not only did He obtain righteousness, which is right standing with God, we are, you are, I am, Brother Dean is in right standing with God. Not only did He obtain that, not only did He do the working part of it, but He also obtained our healing for us. He also obtained our prosperity for us. He also obtained our soundness of mind for us. He obtained it all. Jesus did the work, and now He said, all you got to do in order to have it is receive it by faith. Grace has provided it. Through faith, you obtain it or you receive it, just like you did salvation. Most people would say, well, you know, I'm saved. How many people in here are saved? Lower your hands. How many people in here can I convince that you're not saved? Nobody. How many people in here are healed? How many people in here can I convince are not that they're not healed? Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in Romans chapter 10, it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness unto everyone that believes. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. How many of you are righteous? You're the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. How many of you are? If you've ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you something. You are righteous. Righteous means to be in right standing with God. Now, the reason why, and I want to spend more time on that, but I got to go on. I got 5 minutes. It is so vital. It is so important that you understand that you are righteous, that you are in right standing with God. Because if you know, if you understand that you are righteous, that you are the righteousness of God, that you are as righteous as you'll ever be, then it's going to change the way you pray. It's going to change the way you go in for a job interview. It's going to change the way you walk. It's not going to make you arrogant, but it's going to give you a level of confidence. I'm in right standing with God. God likes me. He's not mad at me. There's no enmity between me and Him. I am the righteousness of God. I want you to say that. I am the righteousness of God. Say it like you mean it. I am the righteousness of God. I am in right standing with God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, if you're in right standing with God, do you think He would deny you anything? Nope. Do you think that He'd want you sick? Nope. Do you think he wants you, your bill, struggling over your bill, struggling over anything, soundness of mind? Do you think maybe he would? No, absolutely not. The righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. The righteousness which is of faith speaks. And this is what it has to say. It says, do not say in your heart. Don't say it. Don't say in your heart. Do not. Don't say it. How do you keep from saying negative stuff in your heart? How do you keep from saying things in your heart that you ought not say? How do you do it? You guard your heart. You guard your heart. Your heart has gates. It has gates. And it's, there's an eye, you got eye gate, you got the ear gate, you got a mouth gate. You need to guard your heart. Guard it. Meaning you determine what goes into it. You determine what stays out of it. You do. You have to. See, I'm telling you, I know without a doubt, Brother Dean is preaching faith. Pastor Joel is preaching faith. There is a reason why we preach faith. It's because this is your life. As a believer, your life is a life of faith. That is the only way you obtain the promises, man. Your life is a life of faith. This is your life. And faith says what the Word of God says in spite of circumstances, in spite of how you feel, in spite of what the doctor says. Faith says only what the Word of God says. Only what the Word of God says. Now, if you don't guard your heart and you allow the wrong stuff to get in there, when you get ready to speak, your words are going to come right up from your heart. So your confession works to your benefit when your confession lines up with the Word of God that is in your heart. A lot of people are confessing from their heads, not having what they desire, and they're blaming, or rather they're saying that God don't want me to have it. That's not true. He says when the Word of God is in your heart and comes up out of your mouth, you shall have whatever you say. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who shall descend into the abyss? That is to bring him up. He says, what does the Word say? Listen, the righteousness which is of faith always refers to the Word. Always. Bar none. It always refers to the Word. It says, or who shall descend into deep, to the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. He says, what does the Word say? It says the Word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's in your heart and then in your mouth. It's in your mouth and in your heart. The next verse, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's when you're saying what you believe, and what you believe is what God says, that you get what God says you have. And if what God says is not down on the inside of you, you're not going to say. When the squeeze is on, I guarantee you, if you want to locate yourself, wait till the squeeze is on, and what comes out of your mouth is where you are. If it's not words of faith, you ain't got, that ain't what you got down in here. Whatever comes out is what's in there. And if you're not satisfied with what's coming out of here, then you need to put something else in. And that something else needs to be the Word of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because that's what's going to change your life. That's what's going to take you from where you are to that place that God wants you to be. That's what's going to cause you to live in the reality of your redemption and have what God says belongs to you. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. For if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord If you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is your healer and believe in your heart that he is, that's exactly what he is. If you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is your provider and believe in your heart that he is, that's exactly what he is to you who believe. It says, for God of all is rich unto all, or he is a full supply unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, or shall not be ashamed. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, in verse 13, shall be saved. How can they call upon him of whom they've not believed? How can they believe on him of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think I'll shut up now. Settle forever in your heart that you are the righteousness of God. I mean, settle it in your heart. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your prayer life. It'll change the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you think, the way you act, the way you love. It will change your life. You are the righteousness of God. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus because you're in him. How many of you are in Christ Jesus? Do you think God would deny Jesus anything? I think not. Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So are you. Amen. All heads bowed.